Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night program. We come to you every Thursday at 9 o'clock. Tonight's topic, do we need a code of conduct, a code system? Again, do we need a code of conduct, a code system? We'll be right back after the music. Don't touch that dial. Stay with us. Family, welcome to Dare to Win, the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. And of course, that was Pharoah Sanders, You've Got to Have Freedom, leading us into this evening's broadcast. And I agree, we most certainly do have to have freedom. My name is Brother Ankti, and I'm your host for this evening's discussion. Joining us this evening will be Brother Thurman, who is also an ULU member and a board member. And we're going to get underway with this topic in just a moment. Do we need a code of conduct, a code system? To join the conversation, call 929-477-2789. Again, that's 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad And if you want to make a comment or ask a question, that will bring you into the studio and we'll open your line to hear your comment or question. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Click the Ulu Radio tab, then click Listen Live. Brother Thurman, how are you feeling this evening?
I'm lifted up. I'm always feeling good whenever I'm in the presence of African people.
And we feel the same way about you, Brother Thurman. So let's get started with this evening's topic. Do we need a code of conduct, a code system? Perhaps a good way to start would be for you to tell us why you chose this topic.
Yes, and absolutely we do need a code of conduct and a code system to follow, because one way to say that is that referencing back to the topic, is staring our people right in the face every day that others who oppress us have a well-organized code of conduct, a code system that's used to oppress us in many horrible ways. Those of us who have been deceived in ways that makes them third eye or mind's eye blind contribute in horrible ways to our disunity, to our self-destruction, to the benefit of others, others from every group of people who continuously wage war against us. And so absolutely we need it. The oppression, the brutalization, the killing, everything is done through a code of conduct that they have and a organized comprehensive system that they're working with. And to when it comes to the code of conduct, a code of conduct, among the ways, things that could be said, they are important rules, a combined list that we must learn and continuously follow. But if we don't have a code of conduct of our own, we only follow in this Europeanized way, then we are very deficient and we're very vulnerable and we're suffering from that. And so if to give some examples, the ancient principles of Mayotte guides our thinking so that we know that we must not steal from our people. It says, I have not stolen from my brother. We must not be angry without just cause. We must not kill without just cause. And there's a total of 42 principles that guide our conduct. And from the European model, their banks, their military, their medical institutions, they all have a written code of conduct that satisfies their worldview, their worldview. And so from the medical perspective, they've got a code of conduct that's centered around so-called Hippocrates, you know, a European, that they call the god of medicine, you know, which is some fakery, because they know, or their leadership knows, that the world's first documented physician was an African named Imhotep. So we've been bamboozled on that, and we have to have put in place our own codes of conduct that we follow. And it's essential that African people have a code of conduct and follow it as a group towards achieving liberation. And a code system, as I probably had said, is an organized, vast process that accomplishes the desired goals. And so once again, referring to the European model, they have in place a vast process. Whatever you want to choose as a focus, you know, if you choose, if we say as a code that we must grow our own food, okay. But now when you take those codes and put it into a system, then it gets comprehensive, because now we're talking about clearing the land, planting the soil, monitoring, doing whatever, during the growing season, and know when to harvest, how to harvest, how you're going to store it, how you're going to market it, all of those things. That's a system, a comprehensive system. And a system is being used to do harm to us in many, many ways. And it's an ongoing system that from the time that the others have started, came to invade and misuse, abuse, and kill us, they have never stopped. And we have, in this state of war, this state of emergency that we're in, even though masses of our people are not acting as if there's a war being waged. And so you can go wherever to the stores and the grocery stores, and you see that's been there for weeks, all of these pumpkins, and you see all these African people buying up pumpkins. Are they buying up pumpkins because of the pumpkin seeds that are very nutritious? No, they're going because they've been socialized, been misled by a code system that tells them to celebrate these European holidays, and not knowing, not questioning why are they doing it. And so just on the subject of the pumpkins, if you go to, as a reference, the Woman's Encyclopedia, it says that carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes when they, the Europeans in Europe, before they ever came to this land, part of their annual October ritual was to go out and kill some of their people and cut their heads off and use it as part of their ritual. And so as the Woman's Encyclopedia says, carving the face in the pumpkin symbolizes when they used to cut each other's head off. And that's just madness. But we are demonstrating that we don't have a code of conduct of our own. Yeah, if I'll just stop there. Anything you had to say, Brother Kim, Brother Arte.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. You've given us quite a bit of information to chew on. Let's go first to, you said you were asking the question tonight. Our topic is, do we need a code of conduct? And if I'm hearing you correctly, you're making the suggestion that we look at Ma'at, the 42 Declarations of Innocence, as a possible code that we could follow. And for those who are listening to us tonight, they may be familiar with the 42 Declarations. Things like, as you mentioned, I have not committed robbery, I have not stolen, I have not slain men or women, I have not stolen food. So these ancient peoples, what was called Kemet at the time, as we know, the Greeks later changed it to Egypt, they had a practice of, in the morning, making these declarations, and then again in the evening, making the declarations again as a way of reinforcing how they wanted to behave throughout their day. And because of that, they had a culture of a very positive, reinforcing behavior that protected the society, raised the children to a high level of excellence, and enabled them to function fully at their genius. So that was the first thought that crossed my mind. How many of us are familiar with these 42 declarations and would be willing to adopt as a code of conduct? The other thing I was thinking about when you mentioned it, Brother Thurman, was most people who have been introduced to the Judeo-Christian religious system are fully aware of the Ten Commandments. What many of us are not aware of is that these Ten Commandments were lifted from the 42 Declarations of Innocence and were used as a way of guiding the behavior of this early Hebrew community. And we know with just 10, it really helped them to guide their behavior and cause them to function together in a way that was healthy. So thank you for pushing us on the question of, do we need a code of conduct? And had our culture not been stripped away from us, Brother Thurman, in all likelihood, we would have that code functioning right now. And what we see in its absence is, as you say, the madness of us following European helladays, to use another community's term for referencing them. But we really do need to think long and hard about a code, and then, as you pointed out, a code system, so that all of this is a comprehensive way of working together, of playing together, of respecting each other, challenging one another to be our best. It's really amazing when we look at what can be accomplished when there is an effective code of behavior, or a code of conduct operating in a community. Brother Thurman, do you think that this is something that could be passed into or become a part of rites of passages that various groups are doing with our youth today?
Oh, absolutely. It's very vital that it will make a big difference when we implement that in a large scale, because we can make reference to various groups and sisters and brothers that have done so, done those things decades ago with very good results. And so every day that goes by, if we're not doing what you just talked about, having the rites of passage to teach the children, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're here to learn and be a lifetime student and to evolve ideally higher and higher, and not to be limited or restricted. And so a lot of the institutions of teaching teaches us in a way to make us be content with limited knowledge, and we should be unlimited to come back to our greatness as our ancestors, and especially our ancient ancestors, demonstrate through the various writings and paintings and sculptures and everything that they let, and their codified language, that we can decipher, and we would have a totally different world. And so that's what's that beautiful, harmonious world is waiting for us. And so there were so many things that did not exist prior to the invaders in terms of thinking and behavior, that every day, the more that you awaken and reawaken and open up the mind's eye, the third eye, the more things that you see, it is just absolute madness. They're showing themselves as being very deficient in their thinking and behavior. And just to give you an example of others, the ancient Africans, when the invaders first came, and the wise elders that were inshore, away from the shoreline, and they were looking and watching the land and the universe, the planet, through their mind's eye, they saw them coming. And among the wiser ones that saw them coming, they classified them as children. And we can get that they are still showing themselves in terms of how they're not just treating us, but how they're treating the planet, the sky, the water, everything, the food, everything. They're operating as deficient, insecure children. And they need the original people, to come back to the right mind, to lead them, as long as they're around, back down the road to righteousness.
I like the way you put that. Family, if we are having a conversation with Brother Thurman, one of the board members of Us Lifting Us, our topic tonight is, do we need a code of conduct, a code system? To join the conversation, dial 929-477-2789. Again, that's 929-477-2789. Brother Thurman, I see a caller has a comment or a question. Let's go to the line 1111. Open this line, and Would you please give us your name and make your comment or ask your question? Your line is open.
Hotel Bar Thurman. This is Kevlar. And I agree there must be a code. When you said there must be a code of conduct, what you're talking about is having restraints on your freedom. If you don't have certain restraints, none of us are free. We think we got full freedom, but in order to have freedom, you have to have restraints. For example, my art is for the consequences thereof. If you look at the Ten Commandments, it says, thou should not kill, thou should not steal, thou should not commit adultery. But it doesn't tell you the consequences thereof. My idea is for the consequences thereof. If I kill you, then I have to live in fear of being killed myself. If I take your wife, then I have a fear of you imposing on my family. So there has to be restraints for your freedom. And we've got certain restraints built in within our system, like our senses. We get a bone of chillness. And many people tell you they can't stand the smell. So there's a code right there. There's a certain restriction right there that lets you know that if it don't pass your senses, you shouldn't eat it. But we ignore our senses. We got teeth that are designed for certain foods. We're ignoring that. So without being long with this conversation, I'd like to give examples. If you pull up in the service station and you know your car takes regular gasoline, you see a thing that says diesel. You make a mistake and you grab the one that says diesel. But there's something there that prevents you from putting that diesel nozzle in your tank because it's shaped different. But you continue to force gasoline in your tank anyway. And that's what happens when you don't have certain codes. You don't have certain restraints. You just do things without control, regardless to the fact that you may have certain moral restraints that's put in place by men and women. You may have certain restraints put in place by your own body. But we'll ignore those restraints. So do we need a code? Yes, we do need a code, because if you don't, there's going to be consequences. And the consequences is consequences that you probably can't bear. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Yes.
Brother Simon, did you want to say anything more in reply to Brother Kebelon?
Yes, well, he was so right about consequences, and the consequences are evident and severe because, you know, when you talk about Mayotte, for example, to follow that and to read the language or repeat the language in the morning and in the evening, like you said earlier, Brother Unkti, it helps keep you in that divine realm in terms of your thinking and behavior, which keeps you on track, versus if you don't do those things and you spend the day fussing and cussing. And one of the major things that we are missing is having a code that we follow, a system that we follow that's in that divine realm of thinking and behavior that gives us very good results instead of the madness that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Brother Thurman and Brother Kevin, thank you so much for your call and your comment. Let's take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we'll continue the conversation with Brother Thurman on do we need a code of conduct. Family, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Thank you. And we're back. And of course, that was Lonnie Liston Smith and Garden of Peace, which reminds me, Brother Thurman, that the code of conduct, among other things that it does, is it causes us to have a very calm spirit. And it's that peace, that place of peace, that enables us to operate as the genius that we are. And when we get agitated and aggravated and upset and disturb that calmness, disturb that peace, we sometimes make decisions and choices that aren't the best that we could have made. So let's continue this conversation about do we need a code of conduct, a code system? And Brother Thurman, you mentioned that you wanted to say something about, I guess it's Neely Fuller's a compensatory system that Frances Welsing built on and developed her Crest theory of color confrontation. So talk to us a little bit about the nine areas of human activity and how this plays into the code of conduct and a code system that we're talking about tonight.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And before I touch on the nine areas, I just want to follow up on you talking about Lonnie Liston Smith and that beautiful calming music. And you mentioned the word agitated. In Neely Fuller's book, it talks about practicing the correct use of words and the correct way of thinking, and question everything and get to yourself to a point that you would rarely get agitated, including being called names. And that's just a higher realm of thinking that we need to be able to do. And also on the subject of calmness, I just want to emphasize that the ancient Africans left it for us to use and left the word that when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered among the highest keys of life when you have mastered calmness. And there's a great deficiency amongst our people and others in terms of being uncalm and not calm. And so when it comes to the nine areas of people activities, there's economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, and sex, and war. And we could take all of those nine areas and look at, weigh them against what the masses of our people are practicing every day in their lifestyle, and see that there's just an anti-us behavior that they're following that needs to be corrected. And so Neely Fuller's book, The Code System, for short, is entitled The United Interconcept, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and action for victims of racism. And there's many others that can help us tremendously in terms of having clarity of thought and behavior, including Brother Baruti's book, A Calendar of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. So the title is Inyasasim, if I said that correctly. But so when it comes to the Calendar of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts, it helps keep your thoughts on track because it reminds you of powerful words of Africans, ancestors, and those that are still with us that are into the higher into African deep thought, and it provides clarity to keep us on track and away from the foolish thoughts and behavior. And so if we take economics and just touch on it, we've been guided in the wrong direction. And so economically, when we are doing it improperly, we've been socialized and programmed and advertised into consumption, overconsumption of everything, food, but everything, trinkets and toys and stuff that we consume while simultaneously making others outrageously rich, multi-millionaires and billionaires. And when it comes to the food and other things, making ourselves sick in the process of consuming all of those things. And then when we consume from the food perspective, all of this fake, poison, polluted, corrupt, out of order things, we get sick, our family gets sick, and all of us suffer from the results of that sickness. Because to make it plain, high blood pressure and diabetes and kidney dialysis can be totally eradicated quickly. Not in 10 years or 20 years or 100 years, but real, real quickly, like, you know, in the next few months, if we went back to our ancient model of a natural diet and a natural living, thinking, Mayat, and all of those things. And so this consumption has us buying up things, cars and wheels and stuff, to show off. And one in the code system book of Neely Fuller's, he says, we got to stop the showing off. We got to be focused on only on things that's going to help us to achieve liberation. He says to minimize the time and effort spent doing anything other than thinking, speaking, and acting in a manner that helps us to eliminate racism and helps us to establish justice. And we should do this every day in every area of activity, including, as I said, education, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And education, when I mention Mayat, indulge in reading, repeating, when I mention the Daily Revolutionary Thoughts and many, many other works that our powerful ancestors and wise elders have put out there for us to learn from, we need those, the messages, the language, the information that our people had created that's right for us so that we can counter. And when I say counter, when you mention Francis Wilson used to be on South Carolina television with Listerville Middleton, and one of the things that was often present when they were sitting was between them was a table with a chessboard on it. And Francis Wilson said, we must put our mind on the black side of the chessboard. So when the people from the white side or from the other side make a move, when they make a move, we counter their move to keep them from checkmating us. But if we keep our mind on this Europeanized, socialized way, then when they make their move, they just continuously checkmate us over and over again. And we've got to change that through putting a stop to the miseducation of our thoughts. And Carter G. Woodson talked about it. And so that's another major area that we need a code of conduct, a code system. Entertainment. We need edutainment to uplift us and to calm us and whatever, but when the entertainment is foul-mouthed, disrespectful, and creating self-hate, we need to just erase that and get that out of our lives. And labor. In labor, which is for the most part, we're indulging in this capitalistic, brutal, war-mongering system, and we're fortunate that we have Us Lifting Us that's coming forward to present the ancient model that our ancestors left us that was cooperative economics. And in that labor, we would be employing our own. So imagine any store, any big place you go into, whether it's a grocery store, whatever, large big box store. Imagine going in there and you went in as a member owner of this entire complex. And in there were sisters and brothers that was being employed by that business and other businesses that was owned and controlled and operated by us. No racial discrimination in hiring or because you had been in an institution. And so
that is such
there's,
a,
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
I was just going to say that that's such a powerful image that that you're projecting for us. And one of the things that Stephen Biko has said, the most potent weapon is the mind of the oppressed. And so in tonight's conversation, you are pushing us to think about how we, to use your term, how we counter these acts of aggression against our community. We have the power in our hands to change how we're thinking. And if I'm hearing you correctly, you are suggesting that we adopt a code of conduct based on the principles of Ma'at that would then change how we act toward one another, and just as important, or even more importantly, how we are thinking about our reality moment by moment. You said so many things. We know that our entertainment has been greatly corrupted, in that there are so many negative images and negative words being hurled at us all the time. We certainly are familiar with the miseducation that we all have been subjected to in the various schools run and operated by the oppressor, whether they are colonial schools on the continent, in the Caribbean, or here in the United States under the label of public schools. I mean, when we think about the amount of information that is incorrect that's fed to children, once we wake up, we will very quickly take back the responsibility of educating our own children. So you are saying that when we begin to control our own economics by operating a Ulu Mart, to use the example that you gave us, this 100,000, 150,000 square foot trading floor where vendors can gather, a consignment function, a thrift store, clothing, music, all expressions of culture, people of African descent are employed there. The money is turning over all day long, and it stays in the community for weeks and weeks and weeks. You are helping us to envision what our community can look like when we gain or regain control over the economics of our community. But we need to change our way of thinking about ourselves and thinking about the kinds of things that we really do need to purchase. Once we have this code of conduct, then we can go ahead and begin building the institutions that will serve and help us to take care of our own food, clothing, and shelter, and energy, and health care, and education, and things like that. Am I hearing you correctly, Brother Thurman?
Yes, that's so right. And it's there waiting for us, and what you had said in the last few minutes about the Ulu Mart and all of the things that would be a part of that, the bookstore, thrift store, farmer's market, and bulk buying of foods like people buying the health food store. We need that right now. We really, really do need that right now. And so us lifting us in its knowledge base, there's a saying that says, we either take control of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of others. We should be insulted. We should be insulted to be at the mercy of others in whatever area, not just economics, but in the nine areas that I mentioned, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, war. We should be insulted to be at the mercy of them. But it's obvious that we're not, because if we were insulted, we would say, I'm not accepting this. Because we have the option to consciously say, I'm not going to accept this. And so when it comes to the get sick diet, It's because people are accepting it. But yet there's models of sisters and brothers around the world that are doing tremendously well because they haven't accepted that. The elders that call themselves elders at 60 years old or 70 years old, but yet we've got Ida Keeling, Ida Keeling, K-E-E-L-I-N-G. She's 105 years old, and for a couple of decades or so, she's been running the 50-yard dash and doing push-ups. She's a model that you can run and be fit and functioning. I saw a brother yesterday, he's 110 years old, and he said he learned from his father about the plant-based, and he talks very, very well. If you saw his picture and saw him talking, you said, no, ain't no way in the world. But we were able to accomplish those things, but we've been bamboozled, and we got to correct that.
Okay. Family, we're going to take a quick break. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back on the other side of the break and continue this conversation with Brother Thurman. Do we need a code of conduct? And family, we're back. If you're just joining us, we're having a exciting conversation with Brother Thurman on do we need a code of conduct, a code system. If you want to join the conversation, dial 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will raise your hand in the studio, and we will come to you, open your line, and hear your question or your comment. Before we went to the break, we were beginning to talk about the time is now to take control of the economics of our community. So, Brother Thurman, continue helping us to think about what that will look like and why it is so important for us now to move very boldly in the economic arena.
Yes. Thanks, Bigfoot. As we move forward on what you just spoke about, that we've got to recognize is that there are a lot of things that we may not be motivated to do, but the wisdom says you may not be motivated, but you must be disciplined. And so when it comes to this loyalty to this European way of consuming things and just recklessly spending money, we might be motivated that I'm used to going out shopping and buying up Satan Santa Clauses and stuff like that. But we must be loyal and disciplined to our cause and break away and get the shackles off of our mind in terms of this European way and making them outrageously wealthy at the expense because of our foolishness. And so it was mentioned in the last few minutes about that we must move forward to for protection for all of the things that we can accomplish. So in the next few days, and as it has been for some months and weeks, a lot of energy about the election selection. With regard to economics, one of the things that we must do to really be a participate in politics is to have strong, strong economic power, that we would have influence and demand, make demands, and have economic power to back it up that would promote the political system to respond to demands. And so, for example, the Asian people, for example, you hear very little about them in voting, and some of them don't, but they do vote. They vote with their economics, and they do it quietly, and we know little about it, but it's working. And it works on their behalf because they've got economic strength. And one of the reasons they got economic strength is their discipline, but among the reasons is because we have supported them massively with a lot of trinkets and stuff that we have no need for. We have no need for. We have no justifiable need for fake hair and fake eyelashes. And we've got to be real, and we've got to be disciplined enough to let the higher knowledge in, and discipline and have the courage not to stay stuck on foolishness. And at this time with this virus, it's unfortunate that so many ways that this pandemic has been put forth in place, but at the same time, it creates hardships that should make us, as we are being more still and less out as much as we were, or less places to go to gather, including community centers that we really need to have. And us lifting us with the cooperative model can help us to have that. But in the meantime, the suffering that's the result of this virus is a time for us to focus and to study, to organize our thoughts and communicate with each other in every way that we can to build our own, so that we've got our own economic security to deal with these hardships. And the hardships would be actually, as always, would be less when we are together. If I'm hungry, and I'm suffering, and I'm homeless, and I'm by myself, then that's just a hardship. But together we can pool resources, and we can minimize ration our food, our water, and everything else, and make sure that we all survive together.
Outstanding. What would be some of the steps that you would recommend to our listeners to move us into implementation of the code of conduct, the code system, and how that ties into the economic moves that we're making to move ourselves to economic self-determination and sovereignty?
Well, the economics is when I mentioned nearly Fuller's nine areas of people activity, the code of conduct and the code system, all of it is made easier for us to put in place to activate when we have strong economics. And we must among the steps that we must take, the initial steps is to take a good look at Us Lifting Us, to ask questions, go to the website usliftingus.com. www.usliftingus.com, and there's a new updated web page that is still having some more features added to that. But take a good look, and also you can email usliftingus at info@usliftingus.com. So if you got any questions, and on the web page you would have the opportunity to join the email list, and that would keep you up to date on any developments, including our annual members-only meeting And but it would also be where you could reach out and call the home office and somebody would respond and help answer your questions and guide you. And then when you see that this is real, that this is essential, that we take control of our economics, then you become a member. And to become a member is not too complicated. You do have to qualify, because Us Lifting Us requires, for the well-being of our people and to not make mistakes that we've made in the past, to control who's a member. And you must be verified, vetted, that you're a Black African. And that's part of our operating procedure. And with that, you submit $50, which is annual dues. And with that, you are a member. When you are accepted, you are a member. And at that $50 membership level, you have say-so and voting rights and decision that Us Lifting Us as a corporation makes, which is very and those of us that are members, myself and Brother Ankti on the call, Brother Kevilon had called in, we know that our voice is heard, because no member would ever have, with the structure that we have in place, would ever have more say-so. Everybody only has one vote. And we do have the opportunity to, along with being a member and staying up to date with your dues every year, is you have the opportunity to purchase an investment unit, one or more, and it's not under contract. It's something that we ask everyone to strive to do, to purchase an investment unit. And you could do it all at once, or you could do it in increments such as $50 or $100 a month towards inquiring. And the investment unit positions you to where, as we are building businesses, including the Ulu Mart and these big, large 150,000 square foot facilities across the country and around the world, you would be eligible to receive the dividends and profits from the businesses. And Us Lifting Us is set up to where you can be a member regardless of where you are on the planet. And currently we have members across the U.S. and in Canada, in many places in Africa, and many places in Europe, the U.K. and South America, the Caribbean. And we are working and having conversations with a business projects in Africa with sisters and brothers that are there, that are Us Lifting Us members, that are anxious to get things started. And there's so much more for us to do. And I also want to mention that age of digital currency, that we need to be paying attention to what's going on with it, so that if there's a switch, that we are in the position that we can still function in whatever type currency or digital currency. And we are in communication with a sister that's very knowledgeable about digital currency, that has her own currency that we're going to, I expect that it will be a part of Us Lifting Us business model. Brother Ankti, anything you'd like
to
add?
Thank you. Well, the only thing that I might would add is some new things that are coming very soon online. The New Reality Forum, which would be a online visual version of Dare to Win, a place where we can not only have a conversation, but where we can be eyeball to eyeball with each other and begin to describe the kind of reality that we want to pass forward to our children. So we have multiple opportunities for our members to actively engage this work. And you mentioned, Brother Thurman, that a $50 annual membership brings you into the Us Lifting Us family. And it gives you the opportunity to purchase a co-op unit. $4,000 when you're able to do so. So what we're appealing to our audience and to all those that come in contact, that we come in contact with, is to take seriously the work of building a cooperative economy. It sounds simple. It's a large task, but very doable. And it's not new in that African communities use different forms of cooperative economics all over the continent, well before the Europeans, stumbled across the ocean and knocked on the door and began to interfere with things. So what we are simply doing is taking the best of those cooperative models and building on them a cooperative economy for the 21st century. We, as you mentioned, Brother Thurman, we have an upcoming annual members meeting in March of 2021, and we right now are pounding the pavement looking for talent and people who are interested in helping us to pull that together. So this, as you said, Brother Thurman, is a very exciting time. There's nothing holding us back from recreating a world where we are at the center of it and it works for us. It's just a question of whether or not we are ready to see ourselves operating at that level and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're more than deserving of it. And something that Baba Hekima quotes John Henry Clark all the time, freedom is something that you have to take with your own hands. If someone gives it to you, it's not freedom. And so we are saying to ourselves and to all who listen to us, we're about freedom, political freedom, economic freedom, social freedom. And in order to do that together, we have to pool our human capital, our financial capital, our just sheer will and determination to build something valuable for ourselves and for our children. We've done it before many, many, many times. And our being here in North America is not an accident. And as you alluded to, Brother Thurman, there's some children here who are out of pocket and they need some home training. And it's time that we begin to behave as the adults that we are and take leadership in bringing the world back to a place of sanity. And I think you're right, Brother Thurman. We've taken a long journey to come back to a starting place of saying, we need a code of conduct. We need a code system. So, Brother Thurman, in the 2-3 minutes that we have remaining, what final thoughts would you pass on to us? What would you have us leave here thinking about and prepare to do so?
Well, I would say that there is absolutely no logical reason to wait and hold back on taking matters into our own hands and implementing an economic system to take care of our needs for future generations. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting if we're not operating, living, thinking to make sure that we are preparing a safe and secure and prosperous and business, including businesses, multiple businesses, for generations far, far in the future, not just a generation, but multiple generations. And so the ones that are pimping us to consume, they're making multi-millions and multi-billions, and they've got generations into the future that they will never know, that would never have to work for us. And so we've got to take control so that we're not letting others to come into our community, pimp us, and have us work for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I support that 100%. Family, we want to say thank you to each and every one on the call tonight, those of you who are listening by way of your computer. Brother Thurman, thank you so much for guiding us in tonight's conversation. Do we need a code of conduct, a code system? Family, we'll be back next Thursday at 9 o'clock with another edition of Dare to Win. And we do invite you to visit our website, www.usliftingus.com. Again, www.usliftingus.com. Check us out. And if it makes sense to you, hit the join tab and join the journey with us. Our roots began in Africa, and as African people, we're ready to retake the world.